Good morning, church. Betty just got on to me for hugging all the women. So that's okay. I can do that, right? Jim, that's okay, right? Yeah. Glad that you're with us this morning. It's cold outside. All right. I want to read a scripture to you and then talk about it for just a second. Galatians 2:21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You know, I don't know about you, but Christ didn't die for nothing. He saved me. Did he save you? So the scripture, Paul is trying to teach us that we can't attain the level of righteousness by our good works. It's by grace through faith that we're saved. And if we could attain righteousness through our works, then the cross was unnecessary. In fact, it was the most unloving thing that there could ever be. But we can't attain righteousness in our own good works. Therefore, the cross is the most loving thing that there's ever been. Yes? That's the Savior that we come to worship today. Are you ready to worship? Well, welcome to our service. Welcome to our live stream worshipers. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. You are so loving. We love you because you love us. You've demonstrated that love by becoming a man, by coming flesh, paying the debt that we owed on the cross. It should have been us taking the nails, but it was you. By your stripes we are healed. So send your Holy Spirit into this place. May you well up joy in us. May you well up thankfulness in us as we lift the name of Jesus up. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If you'll rise if you're able, let's worship.
You give and take. I should have 3 fourth and fifth graders up here with me. There we go. I am so glad to be here this Sunday. I get excited. I talk about Superstar every now and then. Every year, the fourth and fifth graders go to an event called Superstar, and I have a few here who are going to talk about it with me and tell you about it. This year, it was called Shaped, and I had 19 kids go and 7 adults, and it was Shaped for Kingdom Work, and we learned about how God shapes us. I think we'll start here with Marilyn. Marilyn, what was your favorite part?
The music.
The music, and I see you brought some of the things we got. Would you talk about them?
Sure. We got this hoodie. It says, Jesus is my friend. And it was about, how Jesus will always be your friend even when no one else is there. And this, there's dog hair all over it, but. It says, guard your heart above all else. because like it's when you shield your heart from all the bad things that happen around you, and some stuff that will unshape you from God's will.
Very good. Yes, we learned all. Thank you, Marilyn. All right, Christian, what was your favorite part?
The sessions.
The sessions. We had three different sessions. Will you please talk about them?
The first session was about shaping our hearts from all the bad stuff that tries to shape you. And
no, that's good. That's good. We'll review these. I was actually going to have Lena do the first one. The first session, actually, they had one piece of paper, and the one piece of paper folded into three different things. Once again, how each of us are shaped individually and differently by God. So the first one was a shield. Lena, will you read the Bible verse we focused on?
Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Proverbs 4:23.
Very good. That was our focus, was to guard our hearts. And we did talk about that. And the first session was very much talking about what influences our hearts, what we allow into our ears and let ourselves view with our eyes and how that influences us. And then the second one folded into what?
A heart.
A heart, and it said,
shaped by God.
Right. One side says shaped, and the other side by God. And so, like I said, it's the same piece of paper, but we had to reshape it, and that's what it came out as. That was really cool. And with that one, he talked about how every time we hear God's word, hear God's message, we are being shaped by God each and every time. And the third one, you want to talk about that one too?
The third one says kingdom work.
That's right. And so that time he talked about how each of us will go out into the world with our changed selves by God and do kingdom work. And we can all do different kingdom work. Another thing the kids ended up being sent home with was a journal. And it's the Shape Challenge Journal. They were challenged to go home and open it up. And there's... they choose a number between 1 and 8, and then they go to that challenge and they do that challenge for the day. And it doesn't matter what order they do them in because they were all different challenges, but it's a way to take home what they learn and to continue it and expand it. So we want to thank you for your support of us when we did our fundraiser. We can't do it without you. It benefits all. All the kids who go, and the kids love going and doing it every year. And I can't wait to take the next group next year. So let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for our conversation today. Thank you for shaping us to be kingdom workers. Help us to guard our hearts and to not be shaped by anything other than you. This I pray in your most holy name. Amen.
Hello. Hello. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good, morning.
Good to see you. Do what?
I said I hit the wrong button. I'm sorry.
Is that you, Lord? Well, good to see you. Go ahead and check into this service if you're worshiping in our building. If you're worshiping online, go ahead and check in to our online service. That'd be awesome. Several things coming up. Our charge conference is this evening at 6 p.m. at First Methodist Church here in Abilene. It'll be an area-wide event. A number of churches will be there. Rich Jones, our elder, will be leading that. The Women's Heirloom event is next Saturday at 9 a.m. It ends at 3 p.m. And the deadline to sign up for that, ladies, is this Tuesday evening at the end of the day. So if you're planning on going, go ahead and check into that through the app, or you can scan the QR code in your bulletin, and that'll get you to the sign-in page or the registration page. Ash Wednesday is March the 5th at 7 p.m. after our children, youth, and adult activities. So if you're able, let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As you're aware, our capital fund campaign kicked off in early January. We're striving to raise $5 million for a project that I believe that the Lord wants us to pursue. And you can see in your bulletin each week the the amount of funds that's been donated, and you're a very incredibly generous church. And but there's more work that needs to be done. We have some families that are sharing testimonies about the project and about what this church has meant to them. And we have a video testimony from the Adams family, Ty, Jamie, Lane, Lawson, and Lila. Ty is serving on our finance committee. Jamie is our Mother's Day Out director. And the children are heavily involved in youth and children activities. So, Lee, go ahead and let's hear from the Adams family.
Hi, we're the Adams family. My name is Jamie Adams, and we've been attending church here for a little over 10 years. I am currently the director of the Mother's Day Out program that we have here. I've been doing that. This is my fourth year in that position. And I also serve on the nominations committee for the church. I love this church. I grew up in the church, but I believe this church is different. I met Jesus here, and so it's very special to me. I was baptized in this church, and I love inviting people to come here, so I'm really excited about the expansion of our church. And to reiterate what Jeff had said, I'm just excited about there being a seat for everyone. So I'm really excited about that.
I'm Lane, and my favorite part about the church is that everybody's always so welcoming. Whenever I walk into the church, I never feel like not welcomed, and it's just really nice.
My name is Lawson, and what I enjoy about the church is the Wednesday night service. The youth service for the kids, and how it includes a lot of kids that don't get to go to church to learn more about God.
Hi, I'm Lila, and I really like how we all include the children in like children's church and Wednesday nights and Sunday school, and I really like helping and going to church at the same time.
Hi, I'm Ty Adams. I am about to start serving on the finance committee, and like Jamie said, we've been going to church here for right around 10 years. We've enjoyed watching the church grow, love our church family, community groups that we've been able to join, and we look forward to the expansion and the growth and just building a larger place for people to come worship God. We would ask that you join us in prayer for the Capital Fund project, and we'll be adding to our tithing to join in on supporting that, and we just pray that the church will be behind it, and we look forward to the new growth.
Precious family. You know, we've been praying into this for years, and as you know, and this project is an $8 million project, but we have some property that we can sell that might offset some of that expense, but we're needing to raise $5 million. And for a church that has $1 million a year budget, that sounds like a daunting task. But I heard somebody say when we started this, I can't remember who it was, I can't take credit for it, that we don't have the money, which you look at the balance, the fund balance now, we don't have the money, but God does. Amen. And so, you know, God can shift resources any direction he wants to. Remind me of Psalm 24, 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the water. So since God owns everything, then he's the rightful owner, and he can shift in any direction he wants to. You know, Carlene and I, there's a few things we own outright, and that gives us the freedom to decide what we're going to do with those things. They're ours. God owns it all. And again, he can make provision for this project or anything that needs to happen. Perfect example out of Scripture, real briefly. The children of Israel were in bondage in the land of Egypt for 430 years. And so when God showed up in power, displayed many signs and wonders, it was time for the nation of Israel to go. And they encouraged them to leave. But not only did they leave, they gave them all their possessions or a good part of their possessions. So I think in Scripture it showed they had some cattle, perhaps some livestock, but outside of that they didn't have anything. They were slaves, but they walked out of that country collectively multimillionaires, and so they end up in the desert. God gives them instruction to build a tabernacle, all the furnishings, the linens, the coverings for the tabernacle, and. In today's cost, what it might cost to build that today, looking at Scripture, that could have been a $150 million to $200 million project. And the only reason they had that is because God shifted those resources from the Egyptians, shifted their wealth to the nation of Israel. And then they took up a collection, and so they start bringing stuff, and finally they said, whoa, stop, we've got more than we need. And so a couple of things are probably going to happen here. I don't know how the Lord's going to operate. Either he's going to stir our hearts real deeply about this, and or maybe he's going to drop some kind of windfall in our lap. But we're trusting him to provide for this. And something Jeff and I talked about this past week is trying to find some people that really have a strong desire to pray into this project. Does that make any sense? I mean, I'm praying about it, but I have a stronger desire to pray for the sick. That's just kind of how I'm wired. And so if God is really stirring your heart to be maybe really intentional about praying for this project, please let me know. We've got about a half a dozen people that have felt led to do this, and I'm going to try to get them connected through a text thread or maybe through GroupMe so they can encourage each other and so they can maybe speak into each other what God might be saying during this season. So if you want to be involved in that prayer effort, please reach out to me. I'll get you connected. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are so loving and so gracious. And Father, it just astounds me of your ownership of your creation. And, Lord, you didn't create these chairs and this carpet, Lord, but you created the raw products that these chairs and this carpet is made from. And so, Lord, all of it is yours. And so, Lord, it's nothing for you, God, just to break through and do something supernatural in regard to us making disciples for Jesus Christ, which that's what this is about. More seats to where more people will know who Jesus is. And so, Father, we trust you. We trust you. Lord, would you continue to speak to our hearts individually about our involvement in this process. And Lord, we look forward to celebrating what you're going to do, what you're going to Lord, just continue to use this church for your glory. And Father, as we minister in our community, God, would you give us maybe a new passion, a new desire, maybe new strategies for how to bring more glory to you as we do that. You're just so good. So, so good to us. And you're incredibly holy, righteous, and just at the same time. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for opportunities to pray. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Church, again, thank you for your financial faithfulness. You can continue to give online. You can give through the offering boxes by the doors. We'll have several people available for prayer after the service, Mike Matthews and Cheryl Hatcher. You can seek me out if you need prayer, or seek out someone that you trust, and encourage you to lay those burdens down today. Let's continue to worship.
Creation cries, oh. the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty.
Did you know that the Lord is holy?
Amen.
He's worthy of our praise. As we sing that chorus, just close my eyes and just envision worshiping the Lamb on the throne. Sometimes it helps me to just kind of close my eyes and just go there, just to be with the Lord. Hope you feel the love of the Lord this morning. I hope you feel the love of His people, presence of His Holy Spirit. If you are our guest this morning, we are thrilled that you're here. We love you being here. Hope you feel all those things. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to meet you. I'll be at this end of the foyer. You can bring your card with you and have a free gift for our guests after the service. So glad that you're here. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture this morning, so stay with me. Luke chapter 15, verse 1. We're setting the stage here. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear him, speaking of Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." I'm going to stop there for just a second. So let's kind of set that stage a little bit clearer. So you've got, the way I read this is you've got the tax collectors and sinners leaning in. They're wanting to hear what Jesus has to say. They're pressing into him so that they can hear his teachings. And you've got the Pharisees and the teachers of the law that are more concerned about these people, these sinners, that shouldn't be here. Jesus, knowing the situation, knowing the dynamics of what's happening here, tells them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. It's almost like a sharp stick in the eye to the Pharisees here, huh? Then he goes on. Or suppose a woman who has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is going to be rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then Jesus, he steps her up a notch. Knowing these Pharisees, what they're thinking is like, these sinners don't even, why are we even letting them be here to hear the teacher's teaching? Verse 11, so Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses," I want to say that again. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Jesus, we thank you for these parables that you've shared that they might teach us. Holy Spirit, would you come, bring these words, your word, to life. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So several years ago, my oldest daughter, she was kindergarten, and Cheryl worked part-time, and she worked 3 days a week, right? 3 days a week. And so as Kirby was in kindergarten, on the days that Cheryl worked, Kirby was to get on the bus, and this schedule was all worked out and had been going right for some time, was to get on the bus, and she was to ride to daycare, and then Cheryl or myself would pick her up after we got off work. And that happened 3 days a week. And on the 2 days that Cheryl didn't go into the office, she would pick Kirby up at school and pick her up herself. And one particular day, this routine had been going on for some time. One particular day, Cheryl goes to the daycare. It was the daycare day. She went to the daycare to pick Kirby up, and they said, Kirby's not here. Where's Kirby? We don't know. She didn't get off the bus today. So Cheryl went back to the school, and we don't know where she is. She didn't get on the bus and go to daycare. Nope, she's not here. 5 years old. As Cheryl picked up the phone and called me, there was panic in the Hatcher house. Our little girl was missing. So we continue the sermon series, God's Upside Down Kingdom. Today's message is The Lost or Found. So how many of you parents have had a similar situation where you're missing a child? You don't know where they are. I have a little granddaughter that spends some time with me, usually helps me stuff bulletins in the early service many times, and normally comes in with me in the early service, and we sit together, and there's been a few Sundays that she's not here, and I'm looking around, and she's nowhere to be found, and she makes herself at home here in the church, thank goodness. And but there's just that moment, that little moment of panic when somebody you love is missing. Well, in God's upside down kingdom, the first thing I want us to talk about is God is passionate about the lost. He's passionate about the lost. Now, so we see in these three parables, we see three different instances where something was lost. The first one, the sheep. Does the shepherd not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? So there's this, Jesus is trying to illustrate that the shepherd, yes, he was concerned about the 99, but they were okay. He had a heart for this one that's missing, and he goes out until he finds it. And then the woman with the coins, she sweeps the house. Yeah, she's got nine. I mean, she could say, well, I've still got nine. But no, she sweeps the house. She's frantically looking for this lost coin until she finds it. It's interesting that in those first two parables that Jesus tells, that the sheep and the coin don't even realize they're lost. Now, I want you to kind of relay that back to us as people. You know anybody that doesn't have a clue they're lost? Did you know that God has a heart for them? He's pursuing them. He's looking for them. He wants to find them. He wants to celebrate with them when he brings them back, when he returns them. But the sheep had, you know, I've talked about sheep before, but sheep, for us to be referred to as sheep is not a compliment. Sheep are rather stupid. But the sheep has no idea it's lost. It's just, who knows? It's just maybe just falling his nose eating the grass, eating what's right in front of them, has no idea that they're in danger. Did you know also, by the way, that the shepherd understands that the sheep that's by themselves is vulnerable? It's the wolf doesn't attack the flock. The wolf attacks the stray that's wandered off or is wounded. The sheep and the coin have no idea they're lost, but the shepherd still is seeking them. Now, the third parable, the parable that we know as the sons, the son knew he was lost. He rejected the father. So I want you to, you know, there's some of us that we just have no clue. We're just going about life. We have no idea how lost we are. We have no idea how vulnerable we are. And yet the son, the younger son, he chose to reject the father. So there's another category of people that reject God. And it's interesting, the first two parables Jesus tells, the shepherd and the woman pursue that which is lost. But the son who rejects the father and goes into the far country, the father doesn't pursue him. The father isn't just like God. God doesn't want to force himself on us. That son rejected the father, and the father says, okay, You want your freedom? See how that works out for you. I used to do that with the girls. Jeff Foxworthy, the theologian Jeff Foxworthy, he said, you know, when he was a kid, you know, that you don't have the little protectors in the light sockets. You know, Dad was like, you want to put that nickel in the light socket? Go ahead. See how that works out for you. I'm sorry. You don't have to pay any extra for that. But the father says, "You want your inheritance now? You really got it made here in my house, in my family. There's lots of blessings here. But you want to reject that and you want to go see how you want to go your own way? Go ahead." The father didn't rush back, was not banging at his door, but the father was waiting patiently. He was watching, waiting for the return of the son. God he's passionate for the lost, but when we reject him, God loves us. Did you know God loves us enough to let us reject him? I've talked about how he lets us. He's let me in my past scold him. Peter says in 2 Peter, he says, the Lord's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So there's this patiently waiting for those who have stepped away from the church, stepped away from God. I hear it all the time. I know many of you that are retired pastors in the congregation, you probably heard it many times that people say, I haven't gone to church in so many decades because when I was a little kid, either the church hurt me or a pastor hurt me or they were mean to my family or whatever. And I tell people, like that. Well, pastors can disappoint you. Churches can disappoint you. But Jesus will not disappoint you. Don't you're putting your faith in the wrong things, the wrong people. The Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. So God is passionate about the lost. And then also, second thing in God's upside down kingdom, God celebrates when the lost are found. In each one of these parables, the shepherd goes out searching for the lost sheep. He finds him, he returns, and he calls his family and friends together, and he says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. Let's have a party, rejoice." The woman, when she finds her coin, her lost coin, she calls her friends and her family and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my coin." And the father, so I've painted this picture before, but I'm a weird guy, so most of y'all know that. But I picture this son, and he's squandered. You know anybody? Maybe even ourselves. We've squandered what the Lord has given us. He's squandered the blessings of his father, and he finds himself, you know, hard times come. Basically, the circumstances of life come, and we find ourselves in want. This son, he finds himself feeding pigs for a living. Now, it says, it doesn't say that he very neatly was putting food in troughs for the pigs. It says he was in the field with the pigs, feeding them. Now, I'm not a pig farmer, but I can imagine when you're slopping pigs out in the field, you're going to become muddy. And this is okay, Robert. I've checked this out. You can say poop in church. They have pig poop. You're covered in pig poop. It's not in the Bible, but it's okay. Just picture this son, he's squandered what the father, the blessings of the father, what he has given him, and he finds himself covered in this stuff, smelling bad, and you know he had to be saying, "What am I doing?" Anybody ever come to a place in life? What am I doing? When we leave the blessings of the Father, it's rough out there. This son, what am I doing? I'm wanting to eat pig food and I'm covered in pig poop. What am I doing? I think I'm going to return to the Father, and I know I won't be restored as his son, but man, I've seen his servants eat pretty good too. And so it doesn't say that the son goes and takes a shower and cleans himself up and gets a new change of clothes. It just says he came to his senses and he's just returning to the Father. And the Father sees him coming down the road and he doesn't sit on the porch. "I knew you'd be back. Mm-hmm. I knew you'd be back. Pretty rough out there, isn't it?" He doesn't do that. He runs to meet him. And you know that son was filthy and stinky. And he does, the father also, he's running to meet him, and he doesn't say, "Woo, woo, man, you're nasty, son. Go clean yourself up. Let's get you cleaned up, and then let's talk." No, he runs. Can you just see it? He runs and embraces the son, covered in pig poop, stinky. And he embraces him. And he restores the son in humility, saying, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. Just make me one of your hands, because I've seen that they eat really, really a lot better than I've been eating." And the father says, No. Bring the best robe." He's restoring him. bring the best robe, place it on his shoulders, and put a ring of honor, of royalty on his finger, and sandals on his feet. Slay the fatted calf and let's party. Let's have a celebration. Man, that church, that is a good God that loves us like that. You ever been in that moment where I have, where you feel like you're covered in the pig stuff? And the Lord just says, you know, I that moment for me, I felt like Paul in Romans where he says, what a wretched man I am. And the Lord gently said to me, yep, Hatcher, you are a wretched man, but I love you. And I died for you. And I felt that embrace. Have you felt that embrace? God is not focused on condemnation for the lost. He's wanting to celebrate that you're found, that you've come to your senses. Later that day with Kirby, we were panicking. We were looking everywhere. We had no idea where she was, and this was our little girl, 5 years old. And we finally, I think, just came home and just didn't even know what to do next. And we got a call from a lady. Neither Cheryl nor I knew this lady. Had no idea how she got her number or anything else except the Lord. And she called, and she lived about a block down the street from us. She said, I think I found your daughter. She was on a street corner between our house and the street and the school. And she was just crying on the corner. And so this wonderful neighbor that we didn't know just picked her up and took her home, gave her a snack, and managed, Kirby somehow managed to get enough information to her where she knew where we lived. And you know, I remember the daycare center, the owner of the daycare center, when we went back to him, told him what had happened, he's like, I'm going to fire her. No, please don't fire her. Just tell her to be more careful. We weren't concerned about all consequences. We just were glad our daughter was home and safe. We were just wanted to celebrate and hug her, because she was home. These parables, Jesus is trying to teach us. He was trying to teach the Pharisees that look, I have a desire. I'm the finder. I have a desire to find the lost. And when I find them, I celebrate. And the truth of the matter is, church, we're all lost without Jesus. Perhaps we find ourselves in this story. I could have kept reading. The older brother, he's in the story too, and he's kind of going, wait a minute. I've been faithful all this time, and this younger brother of mine that took half of the estate and squandered it, now you're celebrating with him? What's the deal? And I can just imagine that brother going, no, wait a minute. So he took half the estate and that's gone. So the other half that's mine, going to be mine. Now dad's going to split that. So somehow I'm going to lose again. And God says, and through the father in this story, he says, oh, you've always been mine. You always have been, you always will be. But this brother of yours was dead. He was lost. It's right for us to celebrate. And sometimes I think we can feel that way. It's like, man, I've been a faithful Christian all my life. Why are they why are we making a big deal about them that just got baptized, just accepted Christ? It's because God has a heart for the lost. And if God has a heart for the lost, I think God would have us have a heart for the lost and celebrate. So if you're lost this morning, and or maybe wherever you find yourself in this story, perhaps you've already come home. You may be the older brother. Wherever you are, just to know the heart of God, that He loves us. He embraces us even if we're covered up in stinky stuff. He embraces us. If you'll just go ahead and bow your heads with me. Father, we are humbled and so grateful that You celebrate when the lost are found, when the lost return home. Give us that heart. Help us, Lord, if wherever we are in this story, let us come back to You. I just want to celebrate with You. Perhaps we've been a Christian all our lives and walked faithfully with You. Perhaps we've rejected You and walked away and we've come to our senses. If Lord, wherever we are, help us to celebrate with You. Help us to feel that embrace that the Son felt when He returned home. Help us to feel that embrace. That embrace from You. Your word, Lord, says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we're made right by grace through faith, through Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we close this morning, the altar rail is always open. If you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, man, maybe you're the son. Maybe you don't even know you've been lost. Maybe you're like the sheep and you just had your head down eating. He loves you. He wants to celebrate with you when you return. If you'll rise as we close. Oh. There'll be some people in front here that would love to pray with you if you need prayer this morning. I want you just to envision whatever you've done, wherever you've been, wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, you're returning home. You're returning to Him. You're coming down the road. You're a little apprehensive because you don't know how you're going to be received. And the Father runs to meet you. He's running. He embraces you. He says, bring the best robe. And He puts it on our shoulders. Put a ring on your finger, sandals on your feet. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate because I love this one. I love this one. That's good news, church. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Oh, Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.